Welcome to Two Noobs and a Burger, episode number 15. This is Isaac Newby, joined again by Chris Cook to my right.
Hello.
And John Newby, my other newbie.
What's up, yo?
To the left. And today we're here to talk about comedy movies.
That is correct.
Like fiction books.
Hey, you need to get a little closer to your mic, Isaac.
Fiction books?
Fiction books.
Fiction books.
Fiction books and comedy movies. No, but for reals, comedy movies, guys. And actually, when I was going through the information on trying to figure out which movies to put in, it was kind of a hard list to do.
Oh, it really is.
Oh, yeah.
Because one of the movies I put on my list, it's technically classified as an action movie, but if you watch it the proper way, it's a comedy.
Yeah, I have one of those ones that doesn't actually fit into the comedy category, but I think it's one of the funniest movies ever made.
Oh, yeah.
I do, too. But so also, I think we're going to have to put something up ahead of time. What if there's a crossover between one of our lists? Like, if one of us...
Are we doing the collaborative list?
We're doing the collaborative
list. That's what I
thought
we were doing.
Yeah.
So, but I think if two of us or three of us choose the exact same movie at some point, something needs to happen. Because that means that we're all geniuses.
Oh, there's probably going to be a decent amount of crossover.
I'm sure that there is going to be crossover. And, like, I didn't actually write down a list because this was kind of one of those ones that I started doing research. And then I was like, you know, I own a few comedies. I think these ones are funny. Because my problem with comedy is... a lot of movies, I watch them one time and I think they're hilarious, and then I watch them the second time and I'm like, that is a steaming pile of
shit. No, that's very, very true.
So.
And I did know she cannot go off of Rotten Tomatoes version of...
No, but their list of comedies is f***ing hilarious.
Like, did you know that Three Kings with George Clooney and Mark Wahlberg is one of their highest rated comedies?
What's number 100 again? Because, like, the list
Lolita?
Lolita. The movie about a girl, you know, having pictures taken of her while she's like 12 and naked. Yeah, that's a comedy.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, apparently Three Kings is just slightly less funny than American Graffiti. And a little bit funnier than Superman.
Wow. They really had no idea what they were doing when they put that list together.
No.
That's awesome.
It makes no sense at all. So we cannot go off of that because...
Oh, absolutely not. Alrighty, who wants to kick the naming off?
Well, I introduced it, so it's John going to start off.
Alright, well, I'm going to start with my one that's not actually comedy, but the way I watch it, I think it's hilarious. And that's John Wick.
I haven't watched it yet. I need to.
And the thing that makes it so funny is just some of the random ways he kills people.
Yeah.
Just hilarious.
I've been told it's actually a pretty good movie.
It's fantastic.
I've been meaning to watch it, I've just been playing video games lately and not watching anything.
Well, that's a good way to do it. I mean, it has Willem Dafoe. It has the guy who plays the main guy from Deadwood that I always forget his name.
Oh, Timothy Oliphant?
No.
Or not.
The other guy. The one who runs the whorehouse.
Oh, Ian McShane.
Yeah, it has him in it. You know,
which
obviously,
one is Ian McShane?
He's the head of the Assassin's Guild.
That's right.
You're about to drip mustard on your pants.
So it has Keanu Reeves. It has the guy from the Allstate commercials, the Chaos guy.
Oh, yeah. He was actually one of my favorite actors in Oz.
Yeah.
The guy that he played Ryan O'Reilly in that show.
He's pretty great because he's basically
in 30 Rock also.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, and John Wick, he's basically the right-hand man of a Russian mobster, but he's really racist against Russians.
That's amazing.
So, it's just great. I mean, like, sure, it's sad when they kill Keanu Reeves' beagle.
Yeah.
But the rest of the movie is just him killing people in just super entertaining ways.
Yeah.
That's always good. Yeah, I can throw movies out as far as, like, they're just fun to watch just because of how ridiculous all the kills are in them.
Well, it's like when I saw Taken, the first one in theaters, I was the only person in the theater laughing the entire movie.
Yeah.
Because, like, when that kid gets hit by the bus, I thought, well, that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, there's so many movies that have those parts where it's all, like, me and a small group of my friends will be watching them, and they just think it's the funniest thing ever. Like, There Will Be Blood is one of those. Me and Nate were watching that in theaters, and the part where he's like, throwing the guy in the mud and telling him he's going to bury him under the ground and, like, drowning him. Me and Nate were just laughing hysterically, and everyone in the theater is just staring at us.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what, like, I love... I don't remember the comedian, but, like, I love the joke about, like, him and his friend were going to see the girl with the dragon tattoo in theaters. And, like, halfway through the rape scene, his friend leans over to him and goes, "Hey, is this We Bought a Zoo?"
That is fantastic.
Like, that's the most inappropriate time to start cackling maniacally, but...
Oh, it really God. Is.
All right.
I mean, well, another one was it the movie Unknown? That other, like, Liam Neeson one that came out around the same time as Taken, where he's, like, the assassin who loses his memory.
I haven't seen that, apparently.
It's actually a pretty good movie.
Oh, really?
But there's a scene at the very end where this lady's frantically trying to disarm a bomb in order to stop a hotel from blowing up. Mm. And, like, right as she grabs the wires to pull it out, it explodes.
That's awesome.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, I kind of gave up on Liam Neeson movies for a while just because, like, I watched the first Taken, and it was okay. And then I watched the second Taken.
That one's pretty dumb.
Huge mistake. And then I watched The Gray. Which
oh,
is,
yeah, Taken with Wolves.
Yeah, Taken with Wolves. And the only thing that would have redeemed that movie whatsoever, and they should have done it, and I don't understand why they didn't, is the fight at the end between him and the Alpha. Like, what? Why wouldn't you put the part that everyone wants to see in the movie? They just, like, show him breathing heavily after the credits.
It's just the way they do stuff. It's weird.
Yeah.
All right, so that was my random submission. Isaac or Chris, who's next?
All right, well, let's go ahead and go clockwise. So my random submission for the list that I think is one of the funniest movies ever made is The Wicker Man, starring Nicolas Cage.
The bees! Not the bees!
That movie is hilarious. Like
Nicolas Cage punching the woman from Misery in the face.
Yeah, amazing.
There's not many things that could beat that.
Yeah, like everything about that movie is just funny, and it's so over the top that I just feel like someone knew that they were making the greatest comedy
oh,
ever.
Oh, yeah.
But,
absolutely.
Yeah. And it's funny because the first time I saw that movie, I didn't get it. I was like, this movie is terrible. Mm-hmm. And then I watched it again with my brother, and I'm like, this is the greatest movie I've ever seen.
Well, you're just like, oh, wait, is Nicolas Cage really badly acting? This is great.
Yeah. You have to look at Nicolas Cage movies from a completely different perspective. Like, you can't go into them being like, I'm going to be entertained by a really good piece of cinema. You're like, no, this is just Nicolas Cage losing his mind for an hour and a half.
And for some reason, he's a weatherman.
Yeah. Oh, I never saw that one. I heard
neither
it was
did I,
awful, but
I just imagine if he acted the same way in that movie as he did in everything else.
I think that was kind of like
which
his...
one is was him as
that's the one where it was like the
was
fake version of It's
the
a Wonderful
Man.
Life.
What was it called?
The Weatherman. It was
for real.
Yeah, like the cover has him in a suit walking down the street with a bow and arrow. Like I do not know.
I think it's one of those alternate reality movies where he's like, oh, I wish I didn't have a stupid wife and kid or something like that, and he wakes up without him.
Yeah, I heard it's awful.
I'm sure it is.
All right, so, Isaac, what is your suggestion that is not a comedy, but is hilarious?
Snatch.
See, I think that is more of a comedy, though.
It's very close to being a comedy, but it does have enough... I mean, it's a Guy Ritchie film.
Mm-hmm.
So it is... There's definitely a lot of real fun about it. Anything with the Pikeys, you know...
No, it's a great movie. I love it.
It's a fantastic film.
Yeah.
And it's one of those movies that, like, anytime I watch it, I will enjoy it, and I will just giggle the entire way through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is one of those things where the inclusion of Vinnie Jones just makes it a comedy in my book.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, realistically, like, that and Lockstock, they're both fit into a lot of categories. You can throw them in gangster movies, action movies, drama... But comedy definitely fits in there just because there are certain characters that are just put in both of those movies just to be funny. Like, they really are. Like, in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, there's the two guys that go to steal the rifles. Like, one of them has a perm the entire movie, and they're just, like, completely ridiculous characters. And then Bullet Tooth Tony, even though he's a badass in Snatch, he is definitely kind of comedic relief. And Boris the Blade, in my opinion, is also comedic relief.
Oh, Boris the Blade's great.
Boris the Blade and kind of Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy is too, to a certain extent. But, like, Tommy is kind of just, like, he's the, like, everyman guy. Like, the one that's like, that would probably be me if I was in that scenario. Having no idea what the hell I'm doing and just bluffing my way through.
Heck yeah.
But yeah, that is a fantastic movie.
Absolutely it is. Okay, so I'm going to throw out one that, since we are in a Star Wars themed room, I figure might as well throw out a Star Wars themed comedy.
I can't figure out what. There was a Star Wars themed comedy? Really?
Yeah. Star Trek. Or which
I loved it when Captain Solo was like, yo, Sulu, let's hit warp speed.
It just sounds like you're about to go into a freaking Christopher Walken Star Trek impression. Yo.
Hey.
Scotty, give me more power.
Amazing.
So anyway, so Fanboys is a great movie.
Oh, I actually did not think that's where you were going with that at all.
Fanboys is actually a lot of fun. Hilarious. Yeah.
No, I love that movie, but I thought Spaceballs was coming out.
Oh, no, that's a great movie, too. But there's a whole separate category for Mel Brooks. Oh,
okay, yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking, too, with this.
But no, I love Fanboys just because if you haven't seen it, it's guys trying to break into George Lucas's house to steal a copy of The Phantom Menace before it's released because they think it's going to be a great movie.
Yeah, and it's so much better than episodes 1, 2, or 3.
Oh, like, absolutely.
It is a great movie.
It really does, like, capture the spirit of, like, a Star Wars, like, huge fan that's like, oh my god, this is all I want to see.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't hit the disappointment phase.
Exactly.
It just hits, like, all of the great parts.
Yeah.
And it has some of those random cameos ever. But what were you saying, Chris?
My only gripe with that movie is the fact that it has a Seth Rogen, or two Seth Rogen cameos. Three? Well, he's the Star Wars fan, the Star Trek fan, and...
He's also the alien at the Star Trek convention.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Either way, I
No, really, Seth Rogen's terrible.
I dislike Seth Rogen, and I know he was just in there because Kevin Smith directed Zack and Miri Make a Porno, mm-hmm. and he invited him back to do that.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, that movie is amazing. The fact that they got William Shatner to come right? and actually be a guest star in that movie was kind of amazing.
And not only that, they had Shatner, they had Carrie Fisher, they had Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah, Billy Dee Williams.
Like, it's just crazy some of the people they got to show up for that movie.
Yeah.
And honestly, yeah, I forget the main guy who always dressed up like Han Solo, because he's only been in, like, two things. The guy from whatever that Balls of Fury.
Oh, and then, okay, yeah, I can't remember what his name is, but I know what you're talking about. He's the portly fellow that always has sideburns yep. and like the curly long hair.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like he has some great lines in that entire movie.
Yeah, that whole movie is really good, and I also love, even though it's Kevin Smith directing it, I love the
Smith. I forgot Jason. Jay Baruchel was in there.
Oh yeah,
Dan Fogler.
Thank you.
Yeah, the Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes cameo. And
oh, yeah.
Where, I don't want to do this anymore. His mouth's so sweet, man. Hey, we can give you a ride. Oh, really? Yeah, like, I mean, you know, if you don't mind talking about Star Wars, fuck that. No, I'd rather suck dick than talk about Star Wars for 8 hours.
Oh, such a good movie.
It is and amazing.
Plus, it's just super weird because it has Kristen Bell and, like, the most random character ever.
Yeah, for sure. And It was kind of one of those movies that went really under the radar, it seemed like. Like, I didn't hear about it until out on DVD, and then I can't even remember who. Someone just told me about it, and they're like, hey, have you heard of Fanboys? And I was like, no. And then I looked it up, and I was like, it's worth a shot.
Oh, yeah. And plus, also, one other thing is the guy who did all the stunts for... So the guy who is the head of security for LucasArts, or George Lucas, is also the guy who did all the body work and the stunts for Darth Maul.
Oh, really?
Like, he played Darth Maul minus the voice.
Okay, yeah. I remember that whole thing, because he wasn't actually originally supposed to be Darth Maul. He was just the stunt coordinator for Darth Maul. And but then he's they're better. Like, you do this so much better than the actor. We should get you. He also played, I think he played Toad in the first X-Men movie.
He did.
That guy is incredibly talented.
And, oh, yeah, he's and fantastic.
By far was the best part of episode one, because even though that movie is, like, hot steaming garbage, the Duel of the Fates lightsaber battle is still freaking amazing.
Oh, no, just the way, like, the choreographing he did
yeah.
is just crazy talented.
Plus, the score for that scene is
absolutely
killer. If they didn't keep on cutting back to Anakin blowing up the ship, like, it would be a perfect scene.
That's true. And if they killed off Anakin so he wasn't there for Attack of the Clones.
Yeah. And then they cloned him and made the real Darth Vader.
Exactly,
that wasn't
yeah.
a whiny little bitch.
And the clone just went crazy, and that's why he's evil.
Yep.
Perfect.
Perfect.
But yeah, so Fanboys is a fantastic movie. It's a great comedy, and you should definitely watch it.
Yeah. It is amazing.
So, Chris.
All right, so my next one is actually two movies, and I can't really decide which one to put on, and I think I actually like the second one a little bit more.
Okay.
But the Ace Ventura movies.
I don't remember the second one very much.
It's the one where he goes to Africa.
When nature calls.
Yeah.
When he's in, like, the weird, like, robotic elephant or rhino or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, he's in the robotic rhino and he crawls out the ass. Like, the first Ace Ventura movie is amazing, but for whatever reason, the second one, I've always just liked it way more.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the first one does have Dan Marino in
which
it.
Which is pretty hilarious.
That's pretty awesome. But they're both incredibly good movies. They're probably some of Jim Carrey's funniest movies. And, yeah. Wonderful.
So, I can't disagree. It's just been a while since I've seen him, so I don't have as much of a frame of reference.
I can't disagree, because like that was like Jim Carrey's prime time right there. Like,
oh, yeah.
Ace Ventura, The Mask.
Yeah, because that was like right after he really like started getting recognition on SNL and started doing like a lot of the funnier skits on SNL. And then he started putting out movies. And he had some really good ones throughout the 90s, and then he started at about the time that he did, like, The Majestic and, what was it?
The Number 23.
Oh, the Number 23.
That movie.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Man on the Moon. That.
His weird, like, Andy Kaufman movie?
Yeah. I don't know if either of you watched that.
No.
That was.
Definitely
that was
not.
Rough. Like, it was hard to watch, and when it was all said and done, I really wish I hadn't.
Well, and you know the entire time he was making it, he was like, I'm paying tribute to a comedy legend, man.
Yeah.
His family's going to love me.
Yeah. He legitimately thought he was doing something great, and he made an ass of himself.
Oh, yes, he did.
But yeah, that's my suggestion. Ace Ventura. And so, yeah, just Ace Ventura in general.
Okay. Well, right now I have it written down as Ace Ventura 2, but
whittling down the list.
We'll figure that part out.
Sounds good. All right, back to you, Isaac.
Sorry, I'm trying to fight a dog right now.
He's special and eats napkins and toilet paper. And
I'm very torn on my next choice, because I know we've brought one of them up at least recently. But Hot Fuzz or Shaun of the Dead?
I put Hot Fuzz.
Think Hot Fuzz is funnier as well, but I think Shaun of the Dead is great.
Oh, no, it's a fantastic movie.
But Hot Fuzz overall, like, they make fun of every single action thing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like almost how I feel about, like, The World's End, where they do, like, the rock bottom. They do, like, tons of, like, pro wrestling moves
yeah.
all throughout it.
Like, here's how I feel about it. I actually, truthfully, from a film standpoint, think that Shaun of the Dead is a better movie. And, like, they're both great. But from
a
comedy standpoint, Hot Fuzz is...
It's way funnier.
Yeah. Like, I can still watch Shaun of the Dead, and I get a little bit of a giggle. But, like, if I watch Hot Fuzz, I laugh. Like, actually laugh every time I watch it. It's an amazing movie.
Plus, there's really funny death scenes, too.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
Like, when the guy gets the friggin' piece of the castle or the church dropped on his head.
That is fantastic. And I love the fight in the miniature village at the end of the
movie.
Oh,
it's so funny.
It's so great.
And also, the thing is, Shaun of the Dead is the only one of the Cornetto trilogy that does not have a former James Bond in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Timothy Dalton was in Hot Fuzz and Pierce Brosnan was in The World's End.
Yeah. Which, and The World's End, it was decent. The problem was they waited too long to put it out. And,
yeah.
like, the anticipation for it kind of... Everyone wanted more out of it than they could deliver.
Well, plus it was super weird how they went from Hot Fuzz to Paul, and so everyone thought Paul was going to be the third one in the trilogy.
Yeah, which it was really confusing, because that was the original plan, was it... Because, do you guys know the whole thing about the ice cream?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, it's the red for zombies, blue for cops, green for aliens. So, like, everyone knew the third one was going to be a sci-fi movie. And then Paul came out, and everyone was really confused.
Yeah, because they're sitting there looking for it, like, where's the where is it?
Yeah. But yeah, I personally think Hot Fuzz is, especially in the category of comedy, a superior.
Me too, movie. And that's also because that's the one I put in my list.
Yeah. And it has...
Yeah. So that's the three-way crossover.
Yeah.
Yep. And yep. I love the fact that there's also just the entire scene of them screaming the F-word at each other and putting money into the swear jar.
Yeah. Oh.
I don't know nothing.
Oh, it's such a good movie.
I didn't know we had a mounted division. Nobody tells me anything.
Yeah, I just love, like, the individual characters in that movie, too. Like, the cops are all, like, they're good cops.
Yeah.
They just don't know anything that's going on. Yeah, because everything's so crooked.
What are the detectives' names? Are they the Dicks?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I love those guys so much.
Just hanging out. One always wears sunglasses.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a mustache. Yeah, I know.
My thing is... What's funnier than the lady riding the bicycle, holding out the two submachine guns and screaming?
Oh, yeah. When all the townspeople start pulling out the guns, it's just awesome. And then the one-liners they all start throwing out.
Oh, yeah.
I brought you into this world. I figure it's proper that I take you out.
And also the guy in the purple hat or purple jumpsuit looks like Jacoby, which is really funny.
I never noticed, but I
yeah, definitely... watch Hot Fuzz, the guy that they like, keep calling. Ugly as he's running away and shoplifting, he yeah. looks like Jacoby.
I think he looks kind of like a mixture of Jacoby and not Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon.
Oh yeah,
he looks like a mixture of Jacoby and Jimmy Fallon.
It just makes it so much funnier when you're like, why is Simon Pegg chasing Jacoby through the maze?
Yeah, I also really love the fact that they, like, carry jokes over, especially in that one, like, haven't you ever taken a shortcut?
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, Simon Pegg just runs out there, does all the flips, like that, and then Nick Frost just runs up and knocks the fence over.
So good.
So amazing. And all plus, right.
All right, so.
Jonathan.
I'm going to throw out one that I watched in the last month, so that's what's, it reminded me how funny it is. Isaac, you've probably seen it. Chris, I'm not sure if you have or not. Because it's one my dad owns, and we watched a bunch, but I don't know if you were there any of the times. And that's Top Secret.
I love Top Secret.
That's where Val Kilmer is the 80s rock star who goes to Germany to perform a concert.
Okay, I do not think I've ever seen that one.
It's technically World War II, but...
Is that the one that starts out with... Maybe I have. Is that the one that starts out with the German national anthem talking about how, like... The fences are so high, you'll never escape.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I have seen that movie, but I don't remember it very well.
It came out after Airplane, and it was made by the same directors. I think it's a far funnier movie than Airplane.
I just remember the German national anthem at the beginning, and it's freaking hilarious, because it's just all about how, like, you'll never escape from Germany, because they'll shoot you if you try.
Oh, yeah. And then, like, one of the opening cinematics is a song called Skeet Surfing, where people are on surfboards trying to shoot clay pigeons with shotguns.
That is ridiculous.
Like, the entire movie, if you watch it again, it's just hilarious. Like, weird little details that you don't notice. Like, if you read newspaper headlines, it's all about just, like, Hitler getting punched in the face, and... Like, the bars have little Hitler clocks.
That's awesome.
And
I'll have to check it out.
Val Kilmer does a surprisingly good job as, like...
That had to have been one of his very first movies.
Oh, yeah, no, it was definitely one of his first movies.
Yeah, it definitely had to be way back.
It's hilarious, though.
Isn't... I keep thinking Leslie Nielsen's in that.
No, it's
but
not.
He is not.
But that's the one where, like, in order to infiltrate a Nazi base... Two guys put on a fake cow outfit, and since they're since it's a Nazi cow, they put on like Nazi boots on the cow.
Amazing.
And also, you know, for Isaac, one of the main characters is the guy who plays the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Oh yeah.
Or one of the characters in the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Yeah, some that's how my mom and dad loved it.
Yeah, but no, there's like a scene where they're fighting. And they end up in the bottom of a lake, and at the bottom of the lake is just an old Western bar. And people just, like, playing poker underwater.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, it's a hilarious movie.
I love those, like, I assume that was, like, in the
It was, like, 80s. 84, I think.
Yeah, I love a lot of those, like, really campy 80s comedies. Like, the Naked Gun movies, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
They're freaking great. They're just completely ridiculous and over the top, but they are a lot of fun.
It's a fantastic film. And I didn't tell Tracy what it was, because she'd never seen Airplane, like, Naked Gun, anything like that.
Yeah.
Or Wrongfully Accused. Any, so she didn't even know what those movies existed.
Oh.
So in the first 10 minutes, she's like, what the f*** are we watching?
That's amazing.
Taylor, I'm not
I was like, it's a serious spy food. Serious spy film. It's great.
There's cows. It'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, the, you know, the guy from Star Wars. Peter Cushing is definitely in that movie.
I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right. I'll look it up. Well, Chris, throw out your next movie while I look up the random stuff.
My next one came out a few years ago, and I watched it. I can't remember his name right now, but he plays Walsh in Firefly.
Oh, crap. Let's see, Firefly.
Anyways.
Got Alan Tudyk.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Have you guys seen that movie? That's Alan Tudyk.
Okay, yeah. That movie is freaking amazing. And I wasn't, like, I watched it just because he was in it, because I really liked Firefly and Serenity.
Yeah.
But I wasn't expecting a ton out of it, and it legitimately, it hurt halfway through so much that I had to pause it for about 30 minutes because I was laughing so hard. No, it's a great
movie. And that is another movie where you're like, oh my god, these death scenes are amazing. Yeah, because it's like just Tucker and Dale are basically just stuck while teenagers murder themselves around them, and they're like, whoa, what's going on?
Yeah, and just like how the tone of the movie starts out right in the beginning when Dale is at the gas station and he walks over with a scythe and the kids just get freaked out. Like, it's so amazing how they set that movie up.
Well, plus I really liked it because, like, Tyler Labine, the other guy, I think is a funny actor.
Yeah.
And so that's what, like, I watched it and then I was like, oh wait, Alan Tudyk's in this too? Awesome.
Yeah. And I just really, the death scenes are wonderful. The wood chipper is like the wood chipper is great. And so is the one where the guy impales himself when he's running away from the bees. And he's like, yeah, your friend must be really allergic to bees because he was running like crazy when he's chasing him down with the chainsaw. I love that movie. And that one is streaming on Netflix, so anybody can watch that one.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Isaac, I believe you are up next.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm also going to go with a recent one that I don't think either one of you have seen, but it's called What We Do in the Shadows.
I have not seen
that. I haven't.
You need to watch it because it's Jermaine from Flight of the Conchords, and it's a vampire movie. It's like a documentary that's like basically a reality show about vampires living in New Zealand, and they have beef with werewolves that live in the area. So they just have like street fights with werewolves for no reason.
Awesome. And
it's really great. And they there's like my favorite part of the movie, if you guys get the chance to watch it, is there's a whole scene where like their really old, like 1,000-year-old vampire buddy gets set on fire by a vampire hunter. And like right after that happens, cops come to their house. And so they hypnotize him, and the cops just, like, start going through the house, and there's dead bodies everywhere. And they're like, hey, that fire extinguisher's not in service. That's a hazard. It's a fire hazard. Awesome.
Awesome.
Well, I'll watch it. It's on Netflix or Amazon or...
Let me check really quick. It should be on Netflix or Amazon by now.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, while you're looking up, I'll go with the next one. Let's see here. I'm not sure if this one's more nostalgic because I haven't watched it for like 8 years, or if it is legitimately that funny. But I'm going to put up Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh, that movie is still great.
Okay, because I haven't watched it for a while. Yeah. But I know that's all I quoted when I was in like high school.
That's the only problem with that movie is the fact that it has been so ridiculously overquoted that it's not that enjoyable anymore. It still is a great movie. And you can tell the, like, it's funny because you can tell the people that have actually seen the movie from the people that just, like, quote the movie because they heard someone else doing
it. So the people who only say knee over and over and over and over?
Yeah, the knee thing and then,
as opposed to people who talk about a swallow?
Oh, Lord, please bless this thy holy hand grenade that it might smite thy in thine enemies and blow them into tiny itsy-bitsy bits.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, it also inspired one of the weapons in Worms World Party, which we talked about the other day.
The holy hand grenade. Yeah, it's a great movie. I mean, it's campy as hell. And it is definitely one of those movies that it's a multi-sitting movie for me now. Like, I cannot just sit down and watch the entirety of Monty Python and Quest for the Holy Grail. But it's kind of the same with Life of Brian for me.
Yeah.
Like, I have to split Monty Python movies up into multiple segments.
So you can get What We Do in the Shadows in Redbox right now.
Oh, okay.
Or, like, you can rent it on Amazon Instant Video, where you can get it through iTunes or any of those through rental.
Oh, gotcha.
There's no free streaming, but Redbox.
Yeah. Redbox is cheap.
Redbox is great.
So, yeah, so I thought it was a pretty great movie. I mean, I definitely need to rewatch it because it's been a while. But just some of the weird crap in it. Like, obviously, everyone knows about the fight where the guy gets all his limbs cut off.
Yeah.
But just the fact that it, like, ends with all of the...
everyone getting arrested.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, just comes out of nowhere. It's like, why are the British police arresting everybody?
Yeah, there's just that one random detective that's following them around the whole time, like, picking up clues. And then the entire, like, London police force shows up. It's amazing.
It actually has a very similar ending to one of the other movies on my list, too.
Oh, yeah.
Does it have something about the sheriff being near?
That is correct.
Awesome. Excellent. All right. Chris?
All right. Well, based on that inspiration, I will also go with a Mel Brooks movie that I thought was freaking hilarious. And I don't know if he actually just directed this one, but the remake of The Producers that...
Yes, he directed it.
I thought he did, but I don't think he's in it at all.
I don't remember. I was on TV the other day and I didn't see him.
It has Matthew Broderick, Uma Thurman. What is that other guy's name?
I had to look it up because I couldn't remember the other day.
I cannot remember. But Will Ferrell. And Will Ferrell's character is one of my favorite parts of that whole movie.
Which is impressive because I know you're not a real big Will Ferrell fan.
No, I'm not a Will Ferrell fan, but Will Ferrell as, like, a straight-up Nazi is hilarious to me.
That is pretty funny. Nathan Lane.
Nathan Lane, yeah, that's right. But, yeah, the movie is really fun and entertaining most of the way through, but it really hits its stride once they introduce Will Ferrell's character and start in on the Springtime for Hitler musical, and it is just amazingly offensive and awesome. And yeah, I really, really do love that movie, and it's a musical that I enjoy.
Yeah, well, I mean, even that, like, entire scene in the courtroom is pretty funny.
The whole scene in the courtroom, how incredibly dumb Uma Thurman's character
is. Oh, yeah.
Like, when they come back and she's like, I painted the office. And literally everything in the office is painted, including the safe. So he goes over to open it, and he just kind of stares at it and then walks away.
No, it's like a bunch of just random funny parts.
And then, I found two books. What do they say? This one says, show to the police. What does the other one say? Never show to the police. But yeah, it is a really great movie, and like John said, I'm not a Will Ferrell fan, but Will Ferrell definitely made that movie for me.
Oh no, he did a great job, and that's actually, I ended up deleting a couple titles off my list because I remembered how much you love Will Ferrell.
Yeah. But yeah, alright, back to Isaac.
See, like, my thing with that, real quick, before I say my thing, is that I enjoy some Will Ferrell movies. But there were none that I wanted to put, like, on my top five, or, like, what I think are my five favorite Will Ferrell, like, or just not even, just comedy movies.
Yeah, well, and here's what I will say for Will Ferrell movies. Will Ferrell has had some movies that I have found legitimately hilarious the first time I watched him. But he has that thing for me that the repeat watching just kills the movie. Like, I thought Talladega Nights was f***ing hilarious the first time I watched it. And then I saw it again, and I'm like, I hate this movie.
See, that's the only one of his movies I can watch more than once. Like Anchorman, I hated it the second time I watched it. Old School, I own it, and then I watched it again, and I didn't like it watching it the second or third time.
Yeah, and Anchorman is, or not Anchorman, sorry, Old School is one of those ones that, like, you can't really blame Will Ferrell for that one, because Will Ferrell was just a supporting actor in that movie. Like, he wasn't the main point of that one.
Yeah.
But, like, and there's certain ones I just didn't like. I didn't like Semi-Pro.
It was weird.
It had some funny points. Elf was actually surprisingly funny.
Well, that was just way different, though.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was pretty much, like, made for family, but...
It was a Christmas movie, though.
And I would never watch it again, because I know I would hate it the second time through, but it was actually relatively entertaining the first time.
Step Brothers is one that I kind of enjoyed when I first watched it, and then despised it the second time I watched it.
See, and I don't know if it was just that I worked with so many guys that love that movie, and that's what did it for me, but I hated that movie. I mean, it was miserable sitting through it for me.
Yeah, I liked it the first time, and then I despised it every time after.
I've only seen it once, so it was great.
Don't watch it again.
It was great.
Never watch it again.
That's all I need to worry about. It was great.
Just, if you want to watch again, just watch some of the outtakes on YouTube, where it's just like Rob Riggle making up just random things, and then he just dies.
Well, and like, here's a movie that would probably fit in that same category. I will never watch it again. I know a lot of people hate it, and I thought it was hilarious, but Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
Yeah, I did not like that.
You only need to watch it once.
I thought it was hilarious the first time I watched it. I will admit to the fact that my blood alcohol level was slightly elevated.
Yeah.
But I laughed so much.
Well, like, that whole series of movies they made at that time period, because they made Talladega Nights, Walk Hard, and then they made The Goods.
I don't think I've ever seen The
Goods.
Oh, I think it's hilarious. That is one movie that I watch multiple times, but that's one where Jeremy Piven's the sleazy car salesman.
And
he's like
a
mercenary, and people hire him to come in and sell cars during like Labor Day weekend. And
it does have some amazing parts, but then it also has like a whole sub story of like one member of his team that wants to Rob Riggle.
That part's not funny.
Who's a child that has the same disease that Robin Williams does in Big, or Tom Hanks has in Big, whatever it is, where he's like an 11-year-old.
You're thinking of
an adult.
Yeah, the disease is from Jack. Big is the one with the fortune teller machine.
Oh, okay, yeah, sorry. Jack.
So the movie...
he has the disease from Jack. And there's a whole section of the movie where it's just a girl trying to a 12-year-old boy, but it's Rob Riggle.
Wow.
So, yeah, that part's not funny. But the rest of the point where, like, there's just, like, three, like, 35-year-old men who are in, like, the super douchey boy band, and they're trying to sell cars so they can, like, buy this lot and turn it into their practice space. And then, for some reason, Will Ferrell is, like, a former partner of Jeremy Piven's who died during a Abraham Lincoln stunt.
Wow.
And it's just, like, Will Ferrell's in it for, like, 2 minutes. He comes back as an angel just to cuss at Jeremy Piven in song form.
All right.
It's super random, because since they're mercenaries, when they eat breakfast at strip clubs, because no one makes bacon like strip clubs.
Okay, then.
I thought this movie's hilarious.
I do like Jeremy Piven, but...
Yeah, it is weird seeing him in, like, that role.
Yeah. Alrighty, so...
All right, so my official pick, though, is South Park the Movie.
I don't like it.
Have you watched it recently?
No.
Then you should probably...
All right, so then what I'm going to do is say Duck Soup.
That's awesome.
Which I have watched recently and is still a fantastic political satire that applies now just as much as it did when the Marx Brothers made it in the 30s.
Don't be wrong. I like The Big Store better, but Duck Soup's great.
So how much of
you
a...
You like The
like,
Big Store better?
I do.
How much of a neophyte am I for never even hearing of Duck Soup?
It just means that you didn't spend enough time at our house.
A lot of time at your house. I'm actually really confused as to how there's so many movies that your dad didn't like sit me down and force me to watch.
That's what I'm confused about, because he didn't own the entire Marx Brothers box set until like 6 years ago.
Right? Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So then, do you remember the one about Fredonia? Like where they sing a lot of songs and Groucho is the president? That's Duck Soup.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh no, I have seen that movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't remember that movie completely, but I do remember laughing a lot. Yeah.
No, you probably watch more of the ones where they had random people dressed up in blackface.
Well, I've seen some Marx Brothers movies at your house, but, like, I don't know. Your dad was really, like, pretty much watched Mystery Science Theater 3000 and World War II documentaries when I was there. And that's about it.
Yeah. No, he kind of goes in spurts.
Yeah.
Like, right now, like, he'll buy, like, just random superhero or sci-fi movies on the internet and then be like, hey, I've never watched this. I should probably watch it.
Yeah.
Now that I bought it for a nickel on eBay.
When you guys lived in Redmond, I didn't get it. Like, I came over pretty often, but I didn't spend a ton of time there because it was a full town over.
And that's actually might be when he was in his more Marx Brothers mood.
But when you guys were living in Prineville and I was over there all the time, was when he started figuring out that he could buy people's recorded VHSs of Mystery Science Theater 3000 off of eBay for 30 cents. So I've seen pretty much every episode of that show ever made.
I mean, it's just what you do.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Yeah.
I just feel bad because I like keep on knocking Isaac's movies off the list because I'm like, I have no idea what that is.
No, but like Duck Soup, I know you've seen it, but like it's most of those Marx Brothers movies are available for streaming on Netflix.
Oh, really?
So yeah, at some point, definitely check it out on Netflix because it is like legitimately still one of the best political satires you'll ever see.
I'll have to check it out.
Where it's just like, in the 30s, they were arguing about a two-party system that sucked, laws that no one agreed with, the president being, whatever it is, I'm against it, don't care who it was that wrote it or commenced it, I'm against it. Like, it's fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely have to check it out. Faux show.
All right.
Wanathan?
Okay, so I'm kind of avoiding one because I know we're going to get into that whole area later in the show when we have our whole Mel Brooks decision. So instead, since you're reminding me of it, I'm going to go with Mystery Science Theater 3000, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because, yes, all the individual episodes are great, but that was a TV show, whereas the movie is just endlessly funny.
Yeah, the movie is by far the best piece of it because they had a lot, like, it seems like they put a lot more effort into rehearsing all the jokes and, like, setting everything up.
Oh, yeah.
And it, like, they, it felt like they legitimately enjoyed doing that one, whereas there are some.
Well, and they also managed to take a movie that was fucking 3.5 hours long. Because this island Earth is insane how long it is. Like, from the part where they land on the planet, and then, like, the planet starts exploding and they escape, is like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And not in Mystery Science Theater, they cut it down to, like a solid 7, maybe 8 minutes.
Yeah. Because they're intelligent and they realize that they would have lost their mind.
No one's going to sit through this, and neither are we.
Well, it's just so good.
I think we've had this discussion before about the riff tracks. Like, watching, I think it was the second or the third Twilight movie that they did riff tracks for, like, you could tell they were straight up miserable. Like, they didn't want to do it anymore. They just wanted to be done, and it wasn't funny anymore because they just, there's like full, like, 10-minute sections where they just don't talk. And it's like, oh, I'm sad that I actually paid real money for this.
Right. Plus, you know, it was eye-opening for me as a child because I didn't know what the Adam and Eve collection was until I watched that movie and my parents had to explain what it was.
That's freaking awesome.
Because I was young and that's like, oh, wait a second.
I'm also surprised that your dad didn't just completely ignore you and then your mom, like, sugar-coated it and made some other random, like, psychosis for you to deal with later on.
It's a website about the Bible.
Yeah, exactly. I could totally see something like that.
Oh, yeah. But no, yeah, that movie's so funny.
The movie is great. And, like, the show is amazing,
too. Oh, yeah. And the thing I find crazy is I own the movie, and I've watched it, I don't know, probably 8 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I still laugh at all the same dumb jokes.
Yeah, that's the thing. Their delivery and their timing is impeccable in the movie.
Yeah.
It really, really is, and it's always funny.
Well, and, like, Mystery Science Theater had, like, the ability to have, like, there was 3 different characters making jokes. And depending on, like, which one you identified with most that episode, you would laugh more at their jokes or something like that. And it was just, like, a constant, excellent changing, you know, Zap Rouse Hour. Everyone knows what that means when you say Zap Rousedower.
That was my last iPhone background before my iPhone broke.
Zap Rousedower! And, like, the Canada song, like, they spent so much time making some of my favorite jokes on TV.
Well, I love the Canada song, but there's probably not much song better than the friggin' Roadhouse Christmas song.
Oh, my God,
Oh, the Patrick Swayze Christmas. Yeah.
So good.
Like, I mean, I've listened to that song all the time. Just because it's so fun.
Yeah.
But yeah. That is a wonderful movie.
Yes, it is.
Alrighty. So, back to me. So, this next one is kind of a weird choice for me, and I leave it to the group.
This is kind of our last choice, isn't it?
I have, like, a couple just to run by fire.
I have a couple, and then I've got my, like, big ones that I was kind of saving. But, so, the Broken Lizard movies. So, I personally, I think I would put Super Troopers as mine.
Me too.
On that. Yes. But I would definitely throw a heavy honorable mention to Beer Fest, because that movie was hilarious, and The Slammin' Salmon.
I like The Slammin' Salmon.
I actually personally like The Slammin' Salmon more than Beer Fest. That movie was hilarious.
I love that Will Forte just sits in the booth, just drinking water and reading. Yeah.
And then he gets hit by the horse. Oh my God.
That's a pretty funny movie.
And it's funny because I would have never thought up to, like, if someone told me Michael Clark Duncan in a comedy, I would have thought that was ridiculous. But he was hilarious in that movie.
Oh yeah, just the fact that he just randomly punches people when he's disappointed in them.
Yeah, and when he runs into the kitchen and punches the swordfish in the face, and then he's just got some amazing not really one liners, but just like some amazing dialogue. When I was training for the dispute in Beirut, I ran 10 miles every day with a baby camel on my back. So it bemuses me that you tried to escape me.
He is a great part of that movie.
Yeah. You know what they say about assuming? You make an ass out of yourself.
And just like he says, like, that smile on his face after he says it, too.
Yeah. Well, and did you watch the outtakes at the end of
it? I didn't know.
At one point, like, the stage just goes completely black. And Michael Clark Duncan legitimately, like, screamed like a little girl. He's like, "Didn't you watch The Green Mile? I'm afraid of the dark. I don't like it."
That is awesome.
But yeah, I would definitely go with Super Troopers. Just such a great movie. I'm cautiously optimistic about Super Troopers 2 because the thing that I like about it is the fact that they got it funded through Kickstarter, and they're essentially, they've said time and time again, like, we're not doing this movie to try to make more money. We are doing this movie because it's what the fans want us to do.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to turn out to be Club Dread or The Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, that movie.
I do not remember Club Dread. I just remember that...
I remember a lot of tits.
Yeah, there were a lot of tits. I remember that. But me, Isaac, and Lainey were wasted. And we were all three of us just staring at it. This is the worst... movie.
I think I was at work that night, which is why I was saved from watching it.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, and then obviously Dukes of Hazzard is awful.
Yeah, it is. It is just awful.
The only good part is the driving.
Mm-hmm. Or Willie Nelson smoking weed out of a apple?
I think
potato or something? I don't remember.
After the podcast, I've got a funny story about that. But all right.
So, Isaac.
So my last official choice is a... something that also came up on the Best Chase Scenes podcast, and it's The Blues Brothers.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Because that is a movie that, like, solidly throughout it, I laugh consistently.
Oh, definitely.
I love the redneck bar, where they just start playing
They play Whip It and Stand By Your Man.
Yeah.
So amazing.
It's hilarious. Like, they took the time to be like, all right, how can we make a chase scene hilarious? Let's just throw cars at a camera for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And then speed it up.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the way to do it? I mean, it's unexpected.
Yeah, that is a awesome movie, and it is really funny from the beginning until the end. I mean, it's probably one of Belushi's best performances. I know that anybody who's an Animal House fan will call me a heathen, but I genuinely think that movie is leaps and bounds better than Animal House.
Animal House is okay.
I don't either.
It's okay.
It's just, I mean, you gotta give the credit where credit is due. It was the start of the frat house comedy. It was the reason why there have been a lot of them. But genuinely, I don't really like most frat house comedies. The ones I used to like Van Wilder, I thought that movie was freaking hilarious when I was in junior high. And now I watch it and I'm just like, all right, well, that was kind of funny. All right, I could have just watched the Sugar Cult video, it would have been better.
I think I would rather watch... what's the other Ryan Reynolds movie? Like, Best Friends?
Just Friends.
John loved that movie for a
while. Oh, I still love that movie.
John still loves Just Friends. I've never
seen it. Oh, want to borrow it?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay. It's not like... The whole plot is just stupid.
What?
But just little moments in it, like, there's a part where he rents a Porsche and puts chains on it to impress this girl because he hangs out with Good Charlotte because that's how long ago the movie was.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And, like, he just, like, walks around the car to open her door, and he just, like, eats and, like, slams his head into the bumper, and, like, gets back up and, like, goes to open the door from her. Like, they don't make any points. Bram!
That's kind of awesome. All right, so that was your last movie?
Yeah, Blues Brothers.
All right, so I'm going to throw out a couple, which I just want your opinions on. I don't think they'll make a final list anyway, but I do think that they're worth honorable mentions. So... Horrible Bosses, I think those movies are hilarious.
I still haven't seen those ones.
I think they're
great. I've only seen the first one.
I think the second one's better, just because Chris Pine's a psychopath, but they're both great. Wayne's World.
Oh, I can't believe I didn't bring up Wayne's World.
Yeah, no Stairway to Heaven, man.
Then Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yes and no. That movie.
Wayne's World, yes. Pee-wee's... Yeah.
The problem with
Why I didn't mention it earlier.
The problem with Pee-wee's Big Adventure is this. It is a Tim Burton movie.
And really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Now that you do, next time you watch that, you're going to be like, this is a Tim Burton movie. And that's Danny Elfman in the background, isn't it?
What's Her Nuts in it?
Helen Mama Carter?
Yeah.
I don't think so, but well, that's probably good. Before they were married.
But neither
married.
Is Johnny Depp.
True.
Yeah, that was before he was infatuated with those two.
Okay. Then, let's see here. Then I had Fargo, which I only really brought up because I'm watching the first two seasons of that show, and the show is hilarious, and the movie's good, too. I like the show better, though.
Yeah, the problem with
I actually do, too.
Yeah.
I haven't watched the show. I need to watch it. I've been told multiple times. The problem with the movie and the issue that I had with that... Number one, I waited way too long to watch that movie.
Well, I only watched it last year.
Yeah, well, I watched it the first time probably like 4 or 5 months ago, maybe. And when I watch that movie and I look at or analyze it, like I realize that the only really good part of that movie, well, the cop is hilarious.
Oh yeah,
she's pretty funny, and so is her husband. He was the guy, or he was in Drew Carey. But yeah, essentially Steve Buscemi pretty much carries that entire movie.
Oh, absolutely, he does.
And it's a lot of fluff, but it is still a good movie.
Yeah, the show is definitely superior.
I need to watch the show.
Okay, so then my only final one is Blazing Saddles.
Love that movie.
Which, in my opinion, is the best Mel Brooks movie.
I think it is the best Mel Brooks movie.
So...
But I think it only holds, like, that deep of a place in my heart because I watched it with Mrs. Perkerson during college class.
Well, actually, that makes sense. I work with Mrs. Perkerson's sister, and they both grew up watching that movie, and they're both obsessed with it, even though they're very, like, deeply devout women.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Like I said before, I really like the producers. I do think Blazing Saddles is funnier. The only movie, and... I don't know if it's legitimately funnier than Blazing Saddles or just the fact that I've been watching it since I was way too young to be watching the movie, but Robin Hood Men in Tights, I love that movie.
Oh, the movie's hysterical. I think Blazing Saddles is funnier, but I will watch that movie at the drop of a hat. Yeah. And I own both that and Blazing Saddles. Yeah. So anytime, I'll just be like, oh, let's watch both of them.
They are both great movies. One has Dave Chappelle.
Which is awesome.
And yeah. And Cary Elwes.
Yep, Cary Elwes.
Yeah, the guy that isn't really famous, but is.
Mm-hmm. Hey, he was in Saw 1 and Saw 3D, I want to say.
I have no idea.
He was also in The Princess Bride.
Yeah, which is an amazing movie.
Oh, yeah. But no, fucking love it. Robin Hood Men in Tights is hilarious. It's just like that different type of what you're looking for. Whether you want super, super vulgar, offensive, or more like jokes about boners and tights.
Yeah. I do really castration. Enjoy that movie, for sure.
Or circumcision, I mean, sorry.
A lot of circumcision jokes. Yeah.
Well, and it's like the entire movie like is just summed up in the whole part where they break onto the soundstage and the guy's like, stop this, stop this. He's like, f*** you, I work for Mel Brooks, asshole. And then knocks the guy out.
That's so awesome.
And that one part right there, like, I can, yeah, that sways my opinion towards that one.
Just, well, my part, that just the little thing that makes me love that movie so much more, just because it was on Wednesday night and I watched it, even though I own two copies on DVD, I was like, ah, it's on HBO, let's just watch it, whatever.
Yeah. Why the hell not?
Just the fact that, like, Tracy got out of bed because I woke her up because I was laughing so hard when they hung the horse.
I forgot about that part.
The first time she ever watched it was like 2 years ago.
The first time she ever watched it was 2 years ago, as well as the first time that Joe went, yeah, I'm pretty sure Maris can watch this. There's nothing too questionable in it. And then, like, what is it, two lines in is,
yep.
You look like a bunch of Kansas City.
Yeah, you could tell from the expression on her face that she was not going to enjoy the movie from that point on.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Dude, Joe, maybe you should have researched a movie you said you loved before you showed it to someone.
Like, it is beyond offensive, and I love it.
Yeah, I would totally love a copy of that movie.
Okay, totally, I'll hook you up.
I don't think Billy's seen it either, which I'm so looking forward to, because I know that she's not going to like it nearly as much as I do.
Well, my problem is, when I show that movie to people, because I made Tracy watch it when we first got married, is literally every... I hate when people do this to me, but when I watch Blazing Saddles, like, I literally watch it like this,
hey,
just...
Hey, 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 watch. Hey, hey. Yeah.
You're going to love this part. You're going to love this part. Shut up. Oh, this line coming up is so hilarious.
Yeah.
Please love this part, otherwise I'll die inside.
Yep.
Yeah.
I will not love you as much if you don't love this part.
Okay, so what do we have for our list?
Oh, I actually had a few more that I had to...
Okay, go for it. Shoot it out.
So, Evil Dead 2. Love that hilarious movie. It's funny as f***. In the same regard, Dead Alive. The baby scene.
Oh, okay, where he's like smashing against the...
Where he takes
set.
The baby and he's like smashing it into the tetherball pole over and over again. And then one of my favorite comedies, and it's actually another Coen Brothers movie, is The Big Lebowski.
That's a great movie.
That was the one that I was waiting for. That one is such a great movie. I enjoy the hell out of it. Unfortunately, the subculture that follows that movie annoys the get out of me.
Yeah, there is that.
Yeah, but it is still a fantastic movie, and I love the hell out of it.
I actually own a t-shirt that's just way too small for me that I bought at Goodwill or something like that. This I bought it just because it shows...
Is it the Air Jordan one?
No.
Oh.
It just shows Walter's face on it.
Oh, that's awesome.
And just because.
There's one that Brandon has that he got for free when he ordered... man cards, but yeah, it's like the Air Jordan pose, but yeah. It's got the dude with a bowling ball and a white Russian wearing his bathrobe. It's amazing.
That's pretty awesome. Let's see here.
Alrighty, so how many items do we have on our list?
We have 20. Which, I can delete one of them. I forgot to delete John Wick after I brought it up.
Yeah, you can cross The Wicker Man off there, but anyone that has not watched The Wicker Man a comedy really needs to.
Check it out.
Because it's
check
hilarious.
It out.
Absolutely. Okay, so...
So let's just start running down the list, and we can throw off the ones that we don't care about.
Sorry, I was just checking. I was trying to remember why we brought up... friggin'... Burn After Reading.
We never brought it up.
Oh, deaths in movie. That's why.
Oh, okay.
I was just make sure we didn't do a comedy podcast before, because then that'd been really awkward.
The Brad Pitt. That movie actually is hilarious. It is.
I just wanted to make sure we hadn't screwed up. All right, so fanboys. Ben.
That's hard for me because, like, that movie is legitimately hilarious, and I feel like a lot of people should watch it, but I also don't think it's going to make the final five.
Well, no, I don't know, but, like, it should make honorable mention at the very least, because I will get behind the fact that not very many, like, not enough people have watched that movie.
Yeah, and it is by far the best Kevin Smith movie that has come out since Clerks.
Yeah.
I think that Kevin Smith has made three good movies. He's made Clerks, he's made Dogma,
Dogma's and he's hilarious.
Made Fanboys. Dogma is awesome, and I can't believe I didn't bring that up. Oh, or Clerks, actually. Jackass.
Yeah, but they're...
But then again, he did make Red State and Tusk, so... Mm-hmm. Kevin Smith, take Fanboys off the list.
You're the worst part of Lego Batman 3.
He's in Lego Batman 3?
Yes. He's one of the just unlockable characters. Like, you find him around the world wearing his, like, hockey jersey, and he gives you missions.
So you can be fat Kevin Smith as a character?
And see, I actually legitimately like Kevin Smith. Like, I think he himself is a funny guy, and I actually watched Comic Book Man because of him.
Yeah.
And his podcast is actually really good, but he has made some terrible movies. And did you guys see Tusk and Red State?
No.
I actually... enjoyed parts of Red State.
Oh, really?
I enjoyed parts of it. I did. Overall, the movie was hot garbage, because the end was basically exactly what you expected to have happen, because they advertised it for the first hour of the movie.
Well, and what the hell was the deal with, like, so? Okay, so do you know the basic premise of that movie? Okay,
never even heard of it.
Do you know where the Westboro Baptist Church is?
Those crazy bastards.
It is essentially about them. But it's like a more extreme version. So essentially, they're going and they're grabbing gay people and they're killing them and then throwing them in dumpsters. So the movie comes to a standoff between their church and the ATF. And John Goodman is the leader of the ATF group. And what's his name? The leader of the church.
Give me a second.
Anyways, so the leader of the church thinks the rapture is happening, and he walks right out to the ATF guys, and John Goodman is there, and he's talking about how, do your worst, God has my back, this and that, and then John Goodman kind of just, like, pulls his head back, and then it cuts to black, and it's like, and then they're talking, and they're like, you headbutted the assailant, and it's like, that would have made that movie for me, if it just would have showed John Goodman.
Just hit him.
Headbutting. Yeah, that guy.
Michael Parks,
yeah.
That would have been way better if he'd done that.
Yeah, and it was... I felt like it was a movie that was made to be uncomfortable. And then, did you see Tusk, Isaac?
No, I just didn't give a shit. I did not...
Essentially Kevin Smith's answer to The Human Centipede. It's...
sounds terrible.
It was somewhat funny and somewhat watchable right up until he actually put him in the walrus suit, and then it was just unfucking bearable. But yeah, alright, so.
Okay. So, Fanboys believe is an honorable mention for right now. They've got Hot Fuzz, which I think belongs in the top.
It's in the top five.
Yes.
Then Top Secret, which I'll delete because only Isaac and I have really seen it. Because, well, I mean, like, you know you've seen it at some point, but it's kind of hard when there's more movies that we've all seen that we all like.
But if you guys feel very strongly about something, then, like, by all means, keep it on the list, because...
I'm fine with Top Secret being an honorable mention, because it's
a hilarious movie.
Like, it's hilarious, but I'm sure you can find it on Netflix or Amazon or something.
Actually, no, it is on Netflix. They did just add it.
Yeah.
After it being one of the most rare movies on the planet.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, they did just add it, like, last month.
Good.
All right, then Blazing Saddles.
That deserves a spot on the list.
I agree.
I think all three of us can agree on that.
Wayne's World, which is hard because we didn't even really talk about it.
I love Wayne's World, but at the same time, Wayne's World is one of those ones that, like, I think about Wayne's World, and I'm like, oh yeah, Wayne's World. That's a good movie. I should watch that sometime. Not like, holy, it's been a really long time since I watched Wayne's World. I need to watch that.
That's the thing. Which is how I feel about Hot Fuzz and Blazing Saddles, yeah, where exactly. I feel like I must watch them.
Yeah, like I'm probably going to end up watching a lot of these movies in the next week or two, just because we've been talking about them.
All right, so then Monty Python.
I think it can take I think it can get knocked off the list just due to the fact that, like I said, a lot of those scenes that used to be really funny to me have been ruined by overquoting.
Yeah, and I also haven't watched it in 8 years.
Yeah,
fucking overquoting ruins it.
Oh yeah, so for much. Sure.
Then Snatch.
Yes.
I love Snatch.
I love Snatch. Okay, but, all right. I'll give Snatch up because it's technically not a comedy.
Also, yeah, just based on, like, that one's hard for me because, like, I think Snatch is a better movie than Hot Fuzz. But based on the comedy aspect, it's not a superior comedy.
No, not at all.
Well, just like I was saying that I think Shaun of the Dead is a better movie, and like I actually will watch Shaun of the Dead probably more than I do Hot Fuzz, but Hot Fuzz is hilarious.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, and like Hot Fuzz from beginning to end is a fantastic comedy. Like, it starts off with the Kink song Village Green Preservation Society, which is about crazy old people wanting to make sure that their village is perfect.
Yeah.
And they will do anything to protect their village to make sure it's perfect.
Yeah.
So from the beginning, they tell you what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. All right, continue.
Then Ace Ventura 2.
Love the hell out of that movie, but I just kind of feel like it's going to get pushed off the list anyway, so I can give it up.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
I won't give that up.
I love that movie. Like, it is.
I will 100% agree with this man on that.
No, it's movie. A great movie.
I think it,
I won't disagree at all.
It's the most recent comedy that I can think of that made me laugh that hard. It was hilarious the whole way through, and I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that I didn't know anything about it.
Oh no, it's just super random. Came out of nowhere. Nobody knew about it at all.
And that's I should have addressed this earlier in the show. I'm sorry for like delaying right now. But the issue that I have with comedies recently is you watch a preview for it and you've seen all the funny parts.
That's very correct.
Like this is a kind of poor example because I think it came out in like 2008 or 2009. But did you guys ever see the movie Mr. Woodcock?
Yes.
Oh my god.
It looked hilarious on the previews. Like,
but as it turns out, was not.
No, that's the part about trailers. They release 9 trailers per movie.
Yeah, well, they literally showed all the funny parts, which calculated up to about 5 minutes of funny in a 2-hour-long movie. Well, it might have been an hour and a half. And it was awful. It was a f***ing steaming pile of
Yeah.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil, went into it not knowing anything about it, and it was amazing.
Can't disagree.
All right.
What We Do in the Shadows.
Two of us haven't seen it.
That's the hard part.
I'm okay with eliminating it, but I really want it to be on honorable mentions just because people really need to see it. Like, it's fantastic for anyone that's into, like, horror movies that involve vampires or werewolves, and they want to see something different and at times is scary, but most of the time is just hilarious. Because, like, the first scene where they show vampires learning about cell phones for the first time for like 10 minutes straight, where they're just sending each other text messages like, there's a cross right behind you, and the vampires lose for a second. It's an amazing joke.
That's awesome.
Okay, so righty, The Producers.
You can take it off the list. Okay. We only need one Mel Brooks movie on. We definitely could do a full like top 5 Mel Brooks movie easy. Podcast though.
Duck Soup.
I genuinely do not remember it well enough to say. Like I said, I'm like 99% positive I've seen that movie.
It's a great movie.
But I don't remember it well enough to give my vote.
I know that is on Netflix, so that's one of those things that, like, watch it on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, it's a good one. All right, then Mystery Science Theater 3000, the movie.
I would leave. Yeah. I could leave that on the list for sure.
I wholeheartedly agree because I think the movie is amazing. All right, so we have five left, and I think I know what Isaac's final vote's going to be.
Okay.
All right, so we have Super Troopers, then Blues Brothers, Evil Dead 2, Dead Alive, and The Big Lebowski.
You can knock Evil Dead and Dead Alive off.
Yeah.
Also, it's really hard. Like, The Big Lebowski is an amazing movie, but it is not... It's a comedy, but it's not a comedy. Like,
it's a weird movie, but yeah, I think it's hilarious.
It's hilarious, but like, I don't know. Like, I would love to have that movie on the list, and I think it deserves a spot on the list, but I don't know.
I think just like judging on the conversations we've had, I'm assuming the last one on the list is going to be Blues Brothers.
That's hard because I also think that Super Troopers is fucking hilarious.
Oh, it is. That movie is hilarious, especially when he shoots the guy in the cup with
the
gun.
Didn't Blues Brothers make the list of best car chase scenes?
That's made like six lists.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then I'm fine with giving Blues Brothers up because it's already been on significantly more lists.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now I'm like changing my opinion around because like, The problem is, I think I laugh more when I'm watching Super Troopers, but I think The Big Lebowski, out of all those movies, is the best out of all of them. Like, it's the movie that I would sit down and watch more often than any of the other ones.
See, I prefer Super Troopers over Big Lebowski, but I'm in heaven because Hot Fuzz, Blazing Saddles, and Mystery Science Theater are all on the list. All
right, you're our tiebreaker, Isaac. Pick between Super Troopers or The Big Lebowski.
All right, do I want to cut my dick or balls off?
Well, you don't
dick
want any more kids.
Or
so
balls off. I'm all right, assuming... balls, you're right. So, what that means is I choose...
Well, if we're going by sheer amount of testicles, then Super Troopers would be your balls because you see Farba's nuts.
You do see Farba's.
That's true.
Nuts.
Okay, so then Big Lebowski.
All right.
We're going with Big Lebowski.
Scientific thing
that we did.
Honestly, like, I mean, I didn't want to sway his opinion at all, but Big Lebowski kind of does, like, have Sam Elliott in it, and that's kind of amazing.
Sam Elliott is awesome.
Yeah.
So, we have an issue.
What?
Trying to arrange these. Yeah, because at first I was like, oh, Blazing Saddles is number one. I'm like, wait, Hot Fuzz I think is funnier. Wait, Mystery Science Theater is hilarious. Wait, Big Lebowski is hilarious.
I could definitely put Hot Fuzz number one and be really happy with that decision. Yay, nay? Any opinion, input?
I would put either that or Blazing Saddles as number one.
Hot Fuzz number one, Blazing Saddles number two.
Yeah, for sure.
But like, we should make it clear those are basically tied. But Hot Fuzz is less racist, so we're gonna give it to Hot Fuzz.
There's not a scene where someone yells "Up yours!" before giving us the guy a pie. So
I'm sorry about saying "Up yours."
You'll have the decency not to mention that I spoke to you, right?
Awesome.
Alright, so right now the way it stands is Hot Fuzz, Blazing Saddles, Tucker and Dale, Mystery Science Theater, and then Big Lebowski.
I would put Tucker and Dale 3, and I would put the Big Lebowski 4, and then Mystery Science Theater 3000 5.
That's fine with me because technically the Big Lebowski is an original movie where Mystery Science Theater is them making fun of a crappy movie.
Yeah, and it's hilarious. It's amazing. But like the Big Lebowski is a really great movie, and yeah. Unfortunately it's developed this cult following that like really kinda drives me insane.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm surprised. Well, it's been long enough that you probably can't buy Big Lebowski t-shirts at Hot Topic anymore.
Yeah, probably not.
I know for a while they had some.
But then again, some of my favorite movies developed that same thing, like The Boondock Saints.
Yeah.
Troy Duffy. Prerequisite has to be said.
That's true.
Alrighty.
So you have a recipe for us. List.
Okay, so this is a burger, but it's kind of not. So what you're going to do is you're going to get yourself half an onion and some garlic, and you're going to chop that up real fine. You're going to throw it into a pan, a little butter. If you use Pam, you're a douche.
Well, that's just standard of life.
You should use butter.
Well, Pam is nasty, and butter's better.
Butter. So you caramelize your onions, and then what you want to do is you want to get yourself some burger, and you mix those onions in with your burger, and you want to season that because bland meat is boring.
Correct.
So season it however you want. I think I did like salt, pepper, garlic, cayenne, a little bit of smoked paprika, some onion powder, cumin, and a little bit of Worcestershire sauce. So you take that and you mix it all together, and then you want to take some string cheese and you wrap or you mold that around the string cheese.
Okay.
And then you
throw the string cheese is in the middle of the burger.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's pretty much you're trying to form a burger dog. You're trying to form a hot dog out of burger. And then you throw it in a pan, and you brown the sides of it, and then you wrap some bacon around
that. Sounds awesome.
And then
awesome.
You throw it in the oven and finish it off, and then you have yourself a cheese-stuffed, bacon-wrapped burger dog.
Does it have to be mozzarella string cheese, or could I use, like, pepper jack?
You could use whatever you want.
Okay, because I like the pepper jack string cheese better.
I mean, it's just the fact that it's a long tube of cheese. I mean, you can put legitimately whatever you want. But, yeah, it's amazing.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. I think I was drunk when I came up with the idea, and then I think I was also drunk when I made them. So, yeah, to anyone that's like, I can't do that, yeah, a drunk fat dude made them, so you can totally handle it.
Sounds good, though. I'd eat it.
Alrighty.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys again for joining us and helping us determine the best comedies ever made.
Yup.
And if we forgot, let us know what it was we forgot, because we'll totally acknowledge that for sure. 100%.
Sure.
Yup.
I'm sure we will do that.
Yep. Goodbye.
All right, bye.